Amen, amen. Thank you, brother, for that encouraging song leading. And the Lassen Street Choir, thank you. That was encouraging. You are the Lassen Street praise team, by the way. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. And it's a blessing to be a part of the Lord's service anytime, but especially this morning as Stan will be, we use the word installed as one of our elders in the congregation. And by the way, if you're visiting with us, again, a warm welcome to you. And we hope that as time goes on, you'll decide to make this your church home, the Lassen Street Church family. And as was mentioned, if you have time after service, please give us the privilege and the opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. And hopefully it'll be a privilege for you to get to know us a little better. There is a little crazy crowd here, I got to tell you. I've known some of the people here a long time. And they're out there right back at you, Mike. So with that in mind, this morning's lesson is going to focus on some scriptures related to the eldership. And it's always good, even for us who have been Christians a long time, to go back to the scripture, be reminded of some things, maybe that we already knew, but it never hurts to be reminded of. And perhaps if you're visiting with us today, you'll learn something from Scripture about elders and what God intends for elders to do and to be in the Lord's church. Amen. Now, I will say from the outset, I started preparing this lesson, and then, you've experienced, as you start studying a topic, you realize, wow, this could be a one-year series. So it's not all-inclusive. I tried to capture. As you go along, you'll see basically two major headings, I guess, in the sermon, and that is who the elder is and his characteristics and qualifications to be an elder in the church, and then also the work of an elder in the church and among God's flock. So we as a local congregation of God's people and Christ's flock are blessed this morning as we acknowledge and install another elder to watch over our souls. And I say acknowledge and install because we're really acknowledging who Stan already is. And a lot of the work that we've already been blessed by of his work in this congregation. The point being that a man doesn't become a member of an elder in a congregation and then suddenly start doing those requirements or work that an elder does. It's a man who's already been doing that work and is already that kind of man who meets God's qualifications and standards. So that's really all we're doing this morning, isn't it? So this being the case, we take our time together this morning to study, again, a few of the scriptures, not all of them, concerning elders, also referred to, as we're going to see, as overseers and shepherds of God's flock. So for the most part, it's a Bible study together, but I'll try to put a little sermon twist on it. So there are three nouns in the Greek New Testament that are descriptive of the character and the ministry of elders. First of all, we find the word presbyteros, translated presbyter or elder, referring to an older man. Sten, you have to agree, you are an older man. One advanced in life. One with life experience. And Sten, you have life experience. Thank God you do. And it reflects the dignity and the ministry of an elder in the congregation. By the way, if you don't know Stan already, as you do get to know Stan, it's really, at least I'll speak for myself, it's been fun to hear about some of his life experiences. Ask him about his bike riding trip, for starters, to break the ice. Episcopos, translated overseer, later referred to as bishop. In the New Testament, the term is used of elders, reflecting the watchful care they are expected to exercise. And the time I've been a member of this congregation, I see that in Stan, his watchful care. I just think in particular of the whole congregation, but about working with the youth and preparing them for LTC. And when you're involved with that, you're not only teaching and helping the youth, you're involved with all the parents of the youth. So it really involves the whole congregation, the whole flock. In the New Testament, the term is used of elders reflecting the watchful care they're expected to exercise. We read about this care in Acts chapter 20, verses 25 through 31. I don't know why I'm a little nervous this morning. It's a special day. Every Lord's Day is special, but it's a special day in the life of our congregation here at Lassen Street. So Acts 20, starting in verse 25. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again, Paul says. And it's actually Luke who wrote the book of Acts, but Paul is speaking here. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Verse 28, keep watch over yourselves. He's referring and speaking to the Ephesian elders here, if you go back in the text. Keep watch over yourselves, elders, and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Verse 30. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. 31, so be on your guard. There's an exclamation mark there. Be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. So even the word overseer conveys the job description of the elder and the ministry and service to the flock to be performed by the elder. The third Greek word is poimen, translated shepherd, throughout the New Testament. It's translated once by the word pastor in Ephesians 4 and verse 11. So really the elders of the congregations are the pastors. And in our culture, and so many times we hear the preacher or the evangelist referred to as the pastor. And people in the church who have become familiar with the scripture know this description or this distinction. But in being a full-time minister, I find, you know, others just out in the world, they tend to call you, oh, you're Pastor Mike. You know, I don't correct them right away or, you know, jump on them. But people learn as we go from God's word. It's actually the elders referred to as pastors and shepherds of the congregation. The preacher also plays a role in pastoring and shepherding. Now, the Greek word or form of poimen is poimeno. The Greek form is used referring to the elders who shepherd the church. It's a verb, an action word. They're shepherding, feeding the church, caring for the sheep, if you will, helping to bring the sheep back to good health during difficult times, encouraging the flock. As we just read in Acts 20 and verse 28, they keep watch over themselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, this is making reference to the local congregation. The elders, the shepherds, the overseers of this congregation don't have oversight over other flocks or other congregations, right? We have a relationship with other congregations, hopefully a good, healthy relationship. But the elders in this congregation are looking out for this flock. By the way, they tell me that's enough work. They don't need to look over another flock. No, they didn't tell me that. But it's obvious in people's lives with so much going on. It's enough for an elder to look over the local congregation, right, and shepherd the local congregation. The good work of an elder, and again, we're going to look at the good work or what the elder is to do, and then we'll look at and focus in on who the elder is to be. So the work of elders goes beyond mere decision-making. Decision-making is involved in being an elder. It's one of the responsibilities of elders. But being an elder and a shepherd and an overseer, and I think the elders would agree here, goes far beyond just decision-making. A knowledge and awareness of what their work actually embraces and its importance to the spiritual and emotional health of the members results in a deep appreciation for the high qualifications required of the elder. Because in order to do the work, you have to meet those qualifications or be that kind of person in man and have those characteristics that God has developed in your life. Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, describing the work of an elder, at least in part. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So there has to be an in-depth knowledge of God's word and God's truth. And then beyond that, an ability to use God's word to encourage and build up the church. The qualifications of an elder enable the elder to do his work. So we look, again, first to the work and then to the qualifications that enable or empower him to perform that work. The elders are watchmen as far as one of their works or their responsibilities. Again, I'll go to Acts 20 and verses 28 through 31. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he has bought with his own blood. Now, I'm going to pause there for just a minute. It's good for us as the flock to remember this statement right here by Paul himself, that it's the very blood of Christ that is purchased back into his own possession, each and every Christian. And each and every sheep in the flock, right? We know the elders are still here with us. It's not Stan or Jack or Tommy or John who went to the cross for our sins. I see them nodding. They agree. Right? We have to put things in perspective. They're serving the chief shepherd just as we are. The chief shepherd who shed his blood on our behalf. And as the church, as his body, we've been purchased collectively as his body. Back into his possession. And Jesus is the head of the church. And whether we're elders, deacons, preachers, members of the body of Christ, we're all under that same head, Jesus Christ himself, in his teaching, right? And the elders are helping us and encouraging us and nourishing us, right? Spurring us on toward loving good deeds, helping us to learn and become more familiar with the part of the body that God has made us to be, right? So Acts 20, verses 28 through, I started with 28 and started preaching. Verse 29, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. There are still savage wolves out there. Satan is still hard at work out there. We know this. All we have to do is watch the news or drive through town, right? We live in a fallen world. The elders are helping us to protect us from false teaching and from things that might harm the flock. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. They don't care for the flock, savage wolves. They're looking to divide the flock, right? And damage the flock and the sheep. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. There's that, again, be on your guard. Be a watchman, right? And this is teaching for all of us, but especially for elders. Be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, Paul reminds them, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Paul was a preacher, a teacher. He was a lover of the kingdom of God and the flock of Jesus Christ, wasn't he? That's why he continued in love to warn them and try to protect them and prepare them. And now he's preparing the elders and the congregation for his departure. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 reads, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work may be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So here in part, we see the responsibility of the flock in our relationship to the elders, to the shepherds. Obey them that their work may be a joy. Do I obey the elders if they're telling me to do something or directing me to do something that's outside of God's will or what Jesus taught? Of course not. Right? We're all accountable to God and to his word and to the teachings and example of Jesus Christ himself. I haven't experienced that here myself. I've been around quite a few years and then came back. Obey them so that their work may be a joy. I'm going to try to make their job easy. And the great responsibility and work of an elder, a joy for them, right? And less of a burden, because it is a burden, it is a responsibility. And he goes on to say, for that would be of no advantage to you. That's of no advantage to the elders to have that kind of attitude and making their job more difficult. And then Paul points out, practically speaking, that's no advantage to you as the flock either, right? Because then we're working and pulling against each other. And that just doesn't make sense. A house divided among itself cannot stand, Jesus said. So the elder keeps watch over the flock, and they are held accountable by God for this responsibility. And the flock holds the elders accountable too. They're open to us talking to them and with things we have problems with or whatever, conflicts. So God expects the congregation and the flock to support the elders again and make their work a joy. And then all of our work as Christians will be a joy, right? That's God's good intention. Inherent in the term watch is the ancient responsibility of the watchmen of the city. Cities were protected by walls, and along the walls were watchtowers occupied by men who kept a vigilant eye out for invaders. And that's kind of hard for us to imagine that world and exactly what's going on, but we can imagine it. The watchmen are watching to protect the citizens of the city, within the walls of the city. If an enemy were detected, the watchmen would warn the city to prepare its defense. The security of the city was placed in the hands of the watchmen along that wall. The job description of God's spiritual watchmen is found in Ezekiel 3 in verses 16 through 21. Ezekiel 3, starting in verse 16. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. Verse 18. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. This really convicts and challenges me as a preacher as well. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will be saved yourself. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. What a grave and heavy responsibility that the elder has, one of the responsibilities, as a watchman and as a preacher of the gospel. It's a very similar responsibility. So this aligns with Paul's requirement that an elder must be able to teach, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2. So the elder must be a public teacher and protector of the flock, standing between the Lord's people and those who would lead them astray. And the elder doesn't have to take this burden, this weight, this responsibility all on his own. He has the flock to support and pray for him. He has the help of God himself and the encouragement of the other elders, the other shepherds, right? The elder's responsibility to shepherd the flock, 1 Peter 5 and verses 1 through 5. To the elders among you, Peter says, I appeal as a fellow elder. So Peter was an elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd, Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. You know, there's a great reward for the elders who have served faithfully and are willing to voluntarily take this responsibility upon themselves. And there's a reward for us as the flock when we support the elders and make their work a joy. Turning now to the qualifications of elders. We'll save the sermon series for a few sermons. But the qualifications, and I think they're more, you know, you can agree or disagree, really the characteristics of an elder, because they speak to the elder's character. And by the way, Stan or any other elder for that matter is not perfect. Elders in the body have strengths and weaknesses. They're one part of the body, just as each one of us are one part of the body, right? So God is not trying to exasperate the elder in his responsibilities, but he is realistic about the character of the man that's necessary to perform some of the work that we just looked at. We didn't look at all of it. So we find these characteristics throughout Titus 1, verses 5 through 9, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, but blameless. Well, blameless, does that mean perfect? No man, no person, no Christian is perfect. We can be perfect in the sense that Jesus speaks of in praying for those who persecute us, right? Doing good to those who do evil to us. He says, then you'll be perfect, mature, like your Heavenly Father. And that's what he's kind of referring to here, not open to censure. Irreproachable. In other words, accusations may be made, but they don't stick. Anyone can make false accusations. Or if they're true, then we'll address those accusations. Not given to much wine. In other words, not a drunkard, not a brawler, not quarrelsome. Not violent, not a striker or a bruiser, ready with a blow or ready to fight. Not pugnacious or contentious. Not greedy for money, or eager for base gain, or dishonest gain. Not quarrelsome, not contentious, not covetousness, not a lover of money, not greedy, not close-fisted, or like we like to joke about as men, have a wallet that squeaks when you open it, right? Because we don't want to open it and buy lunch for a friend or something. Or I forgot my wallet. I've used that one a few times. If they're friends, they get back at you. They forget theirs later. not covetous, not a lover of money, not desirous of that which belongs to another, not a novice, not a new convert, in other words, not quick-tempered. There's room for righteous indignation. That's my excuse sometimes. No, righteous indignation is different than having a short fuse, being easily angered. So not short-fused. I got this from a book. Not short-fused and easy to ignite. I've heard the short-fused thing, but not easy to ignite, right? not self-willed, but one who wishes to have his own way, or not one who wishes to have his own way, regardless of the will or concerns of others. In other words, being considerate of others. On the positive side, a husband of but one wife. Thank you, Lindita, for putting up with Stan while he grows and matures to fulfill this position. Temperate, in other words, sober and moderate, sober-minded and sensible. We've seen Stan to be that kind of man. Of good behavior, orderly, hospitable, generous to guests, and entertain strangers. Able to teach. We've, again, been blessed by Stan's teaching in the adult Bible class through the leadership training for Christ. Our whole congregation has been blessed. And Stan is even been willing to stand in and preach when needed. We appreciate that, Stan. So able to teach, and his ability as a teacher, and a willingness to give himself to the preparation and task of teaching. It takes time and energy and effort out of your day and your week to prepare lessons and then to present those lessons to build up the body. I'll leave it there for this morning. But I will make mention that a scripture I had to kind of skip over there mentions that in the body of Christ, we're all, each member of the body, a gift from Christ himself to the body of Christ. And especially elders are, they're a man who's, who God and Jesus Christ has been working in his heart, his mind, his life, his spirit to bring him to the point of maturity where he can serve the congregation as a shepherd and overseer of the congregation. So ultimately, we thank God for that gift to any congregation. Amen? I'll stop there for today. And if you do have any need to respond or any need that you need prayers for, we still want to open the invitation to you to make that need be made known as we're going to sing this invitation song.